Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Bob Havermail is here today. Now, with Bob on board, we could talk about 3,000 different subjects. But today we're going to start with Fishing for Freedom. And then if we have time, we'll move on to other things. But Fishing for Freedom is not until the end of May.
That's correct.
But here we are talking about it because registration for Fishing for Freedom starts tomorrow, from what I understand.
12:01 a.m. tomorrow morning. And we will have people actually sign up. And it takes about less than a week for about 300 soldiers to sign up.
So it's very important that those who want to belong to this sign up. Now, the only limitation, really, to how many people, how many veterans can come and be part of Fishing for Freedom is
boaters.
Boaters.
Right.
So let's put out a plea right now, and I'll run a news story about it later on, too. But this has been problematic. People are, I obviously understand, it's your boat, you care about it, you spent a lot of money for it, you don't want something bad to happen to it. Okay, we get that. You can buy special insurance just for this day if you're really worried about something like that. But the benefit you get by being introduced to somebody who wants to go fishing and is a war veteran, there's no price you can put on it. At the end of the day, they'd pay you. Instead of them volunteering their boat, in the end, they'd pay you to be part of it.
You've been at the deer camp, and you've seen personally what that means to those guys.
It means a lot. So let's talk about this. If you have a boat, and it doesn't have to be a bass boat. It doesn't have to be a fishing boat. A ski boat will work. All you got to do is get out.
It makes no difference. And you don't have to be a bass fisherman. You don't have to be one of these professional cat fishermen. And they bring in some big catfish, okay? I was at a dinner last Friday night from church group with a couple of the priests and the other ladies. And one of the gentlemen said, you know, I've always wanted to sign up for that, and I never did it. He said, but, you know, I just don't know. And I started to tell him about it, and I showed him what was going on, and I showed him some of the other videos of what had happened over the years. And he's actually going to sign up, you know, and that's what we need. We just need anybody who has a boat. You get paired up with a warrior, and that warrior will become your friend for life. And you will
literally.
You will hear stories from these people about how much that meant to them to be able to go out and just have a day out. And like the pictures that you're looking at.
Yeah, I'm looking at some pictures now, which is unfair on radio. But basically, it's about the joy that this group, Fishing for Freedom, brings to people. So the bottom line is, if you have any kind of boat of all, if it'll float on the water, they want it. Now, obviously, some people that come are better fishermen than others, so they'll pair you. You know, they'll pair you with somebody that's appropriate. If you have a private lake or private pond that you'd like to bring people out to, that's possible
we
as well.
We do that with Brian Durrell, Durrell Lake. He has our group that comes out there. We even have guys that fish from the bank. Okay, it's just we have designated fishing areas. We will be doing Pool 19. We'll be doing Mark Twain Lake. We'll be doing Brian Durrell's lake out there. And the committee will say where they're going to fish at. And then we try to pair up as many warriors as we can with the boats. Typically, we will have, last year I think we had 279 soldiers and we had 170 boats. That's hard to do. Well, there's maybe two or three vets in one boat, and that's tough.
So you'd like to have really 300 boats this year because you could actually invite more people and have more people because it's paid for. You've done fundraising all year long. We know Kathy Palmer has been involved in that. Everybody's
wonderful.
Involved. They pay for the hotel rooms. They pay for the food. They pay for everything. They can't go out and buy 300 boats.
Right.
Okay? So that's the part where our community has to really come forward. And if you live anywhere in the sound of the WTAD area, if you can trailer your boat over to the pool or Mark Twain Lake or wherever they say they're going to fish this year, if you're willing to take a veteran or two on board your boat and just help guide them to a fishing spot and then sit back and let the relaxation of the day begin.
You know, in the second year, we had a guy contact me out of Chicago, and he wanted to know how he could volunteer and help. He took the train down from Chicago, was down here that whole weekend, and he sat back at the Oakley Lindsay Center, and he said, wherever you need me, I'll volunteer and help. And on Monday, he took the train back to Chicago. Somebody wasn't even from Quincy. This guy, on his own dime, came down to Quincy, volunteered his weekend, just to, whatever you need me to do.
And gopher.
Gopher.
I need this table set up. I need this run across the hall to somebody that's standing over there that needs it. I need this PA system set up or broken down. I need chairs set up. I need somebody
whatever
to,
you need,
you know,
to
whatever
do.
You need. I need somebody to get on the phone and order some food.
And it's more than just the boaters, as you were looking at. We have a whole group of volunteers that go over to the Illinois Veteran Home. We have the pond stocked the day, a couple of days before, so fresh fish. They take the soldiers, the old vets out, and they're in wheelchairs. Some of these people can't even, they hold the rod and reel, and our group helps them reel in the fish, take them off, and it means so much to these people. That's a whole other group over there. I mean, that's fishing for freedom, but that's that particular group is just what it is.
And so there's many ways to get involved. So if you can give a boat, we're going to talk about that aspect of it because that's really critical right now. And then we're going to talk about the veterans home because that's a whole other way to volunteer.
Right.
So let's do the boat. Let's close out on the boat. Bob, any kind of boat we have, pontoon boat, bass boat,
it doesn't make
flat bottom boat, a speed boat, whatever you've got.
Right.
How can we get in touch? How can we volunteer?
You need to go to fishingforfreedom.org. Or Quincy.org, and they go on the line, and there's a registration. You'll register as a boater. If you want to fish with a particular soldier, all you have to do is put it on the registration form, and they'll try to pair you up with that soldier. Anybody who is a military, anybody in the military will have to submit a DD-214 form, just as Will and I were talking out there for previously. That's a requirement because we had years ago. Somebody would say that they were a vet, but then we'd find out it wasn't the case. So there are some requirements on it, but if you have a boat, and any soldier who has a boat, you're a warrior boater. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on, but my brother-in-law, after all these years, is actually going to sign up and fish. He's going to take out Rob, who is over there,
yeah,
Command Sergeant Major. And he's going to take him and his commander out. He'll have two people in his boat the first year he's going to sign up after all these years. I mean, that's how hard it is to get boaters. It's like, well, you've had a boat. And all these years we've been doing this. This will be the 13th year. It's like, we've been doing this and we've been screaming for boaters. If you have a boat, please, 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 volunteer. It will change your life.
It's fabulous. I have been in the orbit, way out in orbit of Fishing for Freedom. I'm certainly not a volunteer. I'm certainly not anybody important to the organization, but I've been able to witness what Bob and the others have done, and I've been very impressed. Now, pictures he brought me, it's kind of cool. Palmyra, they have a parade of boats down the street of Palmyra, for example, on their way to...
Those are the guys coming back from Mark Twain Lake.
Coming back from Mark Twain Lake.
Right.
So, I mean, but let's talk about the Illinois Veterans Home, because I think the thing that's great, we will talk closer to the event. The event, it got me confused this year because I thought Fishing for Freedom was the first weekend in June. Well, it is, but they're counting June 1st, which is a Sunday,
right,
which screwed me up all the way around because I had it all planned out for the next weekend. But anyway, it actually starts in May this year.
It's May 30th on Friday night. You will meet with your warrior, if you haven't already know who he is. And then they'll have a little get-together. You kind of pre-register because there's so many people. And the committee does such a great job. I mean, it is so difficult to register all the boaters, all the warriors, get everybody lined up. Where are you going to fish? Because we need to know where everybody is. We need all your contact information so we don't lose anybody, you know, on the water. We need to know where everybody is. So it usually takes 2 days of the registration process, getting everybody checked in. Saturday night is our Heroes Banquet. We do our, this year we have the Color Guard coming up from Fort Leonard Wood. They will be doing their routine again. Last year, Colonel Johnson, I think, is coming back again. We do our pass out the certificates to all the Vietnam and Korean War vets. That's kind of a mainstay that everybody looks forward to. And then they have a silent auction and an auction as well. You know, last year, my wife used to make a quilt every year for Fishing for Freedom. her quilt last year. I found 26 of them after she had passed that she had started, and my sister had finished one of them up, and it actually went for $1,800 that night.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's just so great, because you and your wife had this dream of this happening, and that's what Camp Haverland is all about. We won't get into that or Bob will cry, so we're going to change subject real quick. But, Bob, Fishing for Freedom happens on our waterways. It involves veterans. Some of them are disabled. Some of them are able-bodied. Some of them have emotional scars.
Right.
They all deserve a hero's welcome, which brings us to the Illinois Veterans Home. Now, the residents of the Veterans Home and other veterans who want to go out there can fish as part of Fishing for Freedom. And the pictures you've brought, I'll try to describe it. When you get to the point where you're living in a nursing home at the Illinois Veterans Home, and you're in a nursing home, you are in pretty bad physical shape. You're probably wheelchair bound. You probably don't have a lot of mobility. But let me tell you, there's about 4 volunteers for every veteran. And these guys are baiting their hooks, and they're casting to the best of their ability out into the lake, which is fully stocked at the Illinois Veterans Home. And the look on their face, this one Vietnam veteran is in his wheelchair, and he caught a fish. Now, frankly, it's probably not much of a keeper, but he's really excited, and he's proud of himself because he got a fish on the line.
It is just them being out there is just what it is.
And then here's another one. This gentleman, obviously, I mean, without embarrassing him, I won't say who he is, he obviously has some very serious mobility issues. He's got terrible lymphedema. You can tell that he is not enjoying life. Let's just put it that way. But the smile on his face, well, first of all, a beautiful blonde is helping him. A beautiful blonde lady is helping him. His hands are swollen. His legs are completely swollen. But the smile on his face is beaming because he is casting his rod out into that lake. And whether he catches something or not, he can relive being out in public, out with people, having people honor him for his service.
They do the same thing that we do at the banquet. They have a honor guard out there.
Mm-hmm. They do. The pictures of the honor guard.
They sing the national anthem. The group that helps out at the veterans home is phenomenal. They go out there. They have a lunch for them afterwards. And it's just, Fishing for Freedom is just not the tournament on Sunday morning, okay? It's turned into so much more that you just, you know,
the fishing has almost become, I don't mean to be rude, but the fishing aspect of it is really a pretty small part of it. The guys, when you talk to them, when I'm around them, they might brag if they caught a really big fish, but they're mostly talking about the fun they had.
You can read that if you want.
I will. I'll read it out loud. I've never read this. I'm reading it raw. Hey, Bob, I've never thanked you personally for Fishing for Freedom. I could go into detail, but there is no doubt this event and the people have saved my life. So for what it's worth, thank you so much, Bob. Wow, that's great. People that are feeling left out, unappreciated, these are veterans who they want to be with other people who share their interests. They want to be around other veterans. When that line's in the water and they're waiting for the bite, there's plenty of time to talk. There's plenty of time to talk peer-to-peer. And if you're a boater and you don't share those experiences, that's okay. You sit back and you let them talk as much as they want, and you'll just be very happy that you can experience that as they heal
while
they're
doing
this. That's how it started. Yeah.
I went to a Fishing for Freedom event in Western Missouri at Warsaw Lake. Never fished one in my life. I actually qualified to fish the BASS Federation Tournament. And I heard about this, and my wife said, what would you like to do? I said, let's go to this vet thing. I want to see this. And we went over, and I got paired up with a command sergeant major, and we talked about his experiences, and I told him I was going to start this, and you've read the forward in my book, and he says, I thought this guy was nuts. How in the heck are you going to start something like this? And it was like, well, we'll start it. And it was. The first year, oh, my gosh. I mean, we did so many things wrong, it was unreal. The committee, if you ever want to volunteer on a committee that really means something, we take all the volunteers that we can take, okay? Because it is a huge
undertaking. They've got it down to a fine science now, but they need people.
It needs people.
Human beings.
And, you know, I know if we wanted to talk. This year, a good friend of mine who is a professional angler, Clay Dreyer, He was born with no arms and legs.
He has one little stump, like almost to his elbow, but not quite.
Right.
He has no legs. He has one arm. He was born that way.
Yes.
And
he drives his own bass boat.
He drives his own bass boat. He's on the professional circuit. He fishes, and he's pretty darn good at it. But the thing about it is he's inspirational. But the reason he's so inspirational is every one of us, you know, if I break a nail, I get upset. I mean, and then we think about what people with real problems do.
Right.
And to hear these gentlemen that I've gotten a chance to meet because of you, and to have dinner with these gentlemen in a private setting where they're very open, to have them say, you know, I came back with a physical war wound, or I came back with an emotional war wound. And I was kind of feeling a little bit sorry for myself and saying, I don't know if I'll ever have the potential I had because the war took it out of me, or my military duty took it out of me. And then you meet someone like Clay Dyer, who could have nothing of a life.
No.
But his parents, thank God, it's really his parents who started it, and then his belief that God gave him a purpose in life, and he is doing it. And I remember one of these veterans, I'm not trying to be crude, but he said, I'm sitting here thinking, feeling sorry for myself because maybe I've got tinnitus, or maybe I don't see as well as I should out of one eye because of an injury, or maybe I've lost a little bit of neuropathy in my foot because of my combat. He said, this guy can't even, wipe his own butt.
That's correct.
And he gets up and does it every day.
And he's blessed.
He's out there, and
he'll
blessed.
Tell you how happy he is.
And they see that God has a purpose for them.
Every one of us.
That a setback can also be an advantage. And the people that are in the military now that are in Fishing for Freedom and who come back every year, they're always reaching back to the new ones that are coming in saying, welcome to the fold. You might be a little nervous. You might not know what's going to happen. You might not be sure what's going to happen. All the people here in the Quincy, Palmyra, all over are embracing you, and we're embracing you.
And we had like 270 some odd soldiers from 37 states. I've had soldiers who have met at our event who haven't seen each other since they were deployed in Afghanistan, which is crazy. And they'll come up and they'll say, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. I mean, they're after me, and Holly and I talk a lot. And she says, you know, you ought to write a book on all the experiences from all the different soldiers who have told you stuff over the years that had happened where it changed their lives and what we have done.
Yeah, it is life-changing. So Clay Dyer is coming.
He is coming.
He is coming. Folks, keep posted. Go to fishingforfreedomquincy.org. Fishingforfreedomquincy.org. If you have a boat, any kind of boat, please volunteer to be a boat captain that weekend. They need you desperately. If you can be a volunteer on the banks at the Illinois Veterans Home, help out in any way. Pushing the wheelchairs out to just getting everybody out to the lake takes a lot of effort. If you can help with the banquet, if you can clean up the garbage. And that's one thing that really impressed me. When we're over at Bob's camp and dinner's over, these guys, and it's usually the top-ranking guy.
You have two colonels that do that.
He stands up, and he doesn't say, you do this, you do that.
No.
He just starts cleaning up and putting chairs away, and you know what? Everybody else gets up. I start putting chairs away. I start doing things because, again, they're leading by example. We're going to run out of time, Bob, but fishingforfreedomquincy.org. Desperately need boats.
Yes.
They can only have as many people as they have boats to put them in.
All the photos that you have here are on the website. All you got to do is go there, look at all the previous years, and that would tell the story of Fishing for Freedom. Go to it and look at the photos from over the years.
And if you see these guys out at the Veterans Home, and ladies, there's a lady out there fishing too.
Oh,
there's veterans that are ladies. You will see the joy on their face, and you will also see the volunteers enjoying themselves.
They do.
And so if you want to volunteer, if you have a boat, if you have two arms and legs and you can carry something, if you have money that you can give, if you can sponsor whatever, give them a ring at fishingforfreedomquincy.org. Fishingforfreedomquincy.org. We're the second largest Fishing for Freedom organization in the United States, and they want to keep growing, and the only way they can grow is if you help them by getting more boaters. Thank you, Bob.
You are more than welcome. Always
happy to
see you. You
are my favorite guy. I kind of like to flirt with Buck a little bit. Don't tell my husband.
There you go.
There you go. We're going to be back. I can't flirt with the next guy because his wife works with me.
Yeah, there's a fireman.
And she can beat me up big
there you
time.
Go.
So I'm going to be on my best behavior. So I got all my flirtation out with
okay,
you, Bob.
That's
okay,
that's fine.
We're going to head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening on the farm markets, and then the chief of the Payson Fire Department is here, Rocky Ford. We'll talk in just a minute. And we thank you very much. Stock market's up. Rocky Ford is excited because, you know, he's a big investor, I'm sure, in the stock market. And that allows him to be the Payson Fire Chief because I imagine that job don't pay too well.
Oh, no. It pays in gratitude, I
it
guess.
It pays in gratitude. Rocky Ford is my guest today. He is the chief of the Payson Fire Department. We're going to talk about a trap shoot they're having tomorrow. Just last week, they had a trap shoot at Northside for Fishing for Freedom. And now tomorrow, they're having a trap shoot for the Payson Fall Creek Fire Protection District. So first and foremost, Rocky, kind of introduce yourself to us and tell us about your career in firefighting and about the Payson Fire Department, because it's a volunteer fire department.
Yeah, it's volunteer. Very close-knit group of guys. I'm not from around here. I came from over by Jacksonville. Married my wife, and that's kind of how I become a Paysonite, as they call it out there. But it's very selfless. The guys that are on the department know we don't make any money, hardly any money. I mean, But our district takes care of us, and just like this trap shoot that we're going to talk about today, we have never went into the public, Mary, and asked if we can. We ask them anything; they're willing to give us whatever we need to make a difference, saving a life or any kind of equipment. And that's what this trap shoot's really about, is for equipment and just fundraising so that we can get the things that we need to do our job along the way.
Well, it's no secret. We've had a lot of stories in the news lately. Hannibal Fire Department is short-staffed, and they pay $40,000 a year, and they still can't get anybody. And so we've talked about this up in Lorain. You know, that fire department is on Highway 336 now, and so when there's a major wreck up there, they're first to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Payson is first to respond for a lot of highway accidents, mm-hmm. and indeed your wife, who's a coworker of mine here, she's come in the morning and said, oh, man, I wasn't asleep last night. Rocky was out all night. They had a crash or they had a fire or they had somebody needed to be rescued. I mean, it really is selfless what you guys do. So you're going to get some tools and some equipment from this trap shoot, which is going on Saturday, February 1st from 5 to 10 p.m. at the north side. So we'll talk about that. I think most people understand what a trap shoot is. I want to dial down on some of the particular challenges, because you're the Payson Fire Chief, so you've got to make sure you've got enough volunteers, you've got to make sure that you have your equipment in as best working order as possible, safety gear for your men and women, and then just a scheduling that, you know, you have enough people so that, I'm sure hunting season is a disaster. Everybody wants to be away. Who's going to be there if the town hall starts on fire?
Yeah, hunting season and farming season are too. But the guys are good about it. If we have something major happen and they know that something major is going down, we don't have a problem. I mean, our volunteers show up, I mean, in a minute's notice. And I'll just kind of touch on this a little bit. In the county, all the departments we've kind of come together as chiefs, and we're working more toward a mutual aid throughout the county so that everybody's always got some kind of help. Or Tri-Township helps us a lot. We have a new mutual aid agreement with them where they respond to just about everything that we had, minus the medical and like our automatic alarms at the school and stuff like that. They will come to a car wreck, a car fire, a house fire. They come everywhere in our district, and they've kind of pulled us into. So, I mean, it's
great to have you as backup for them because,
exactly.
You know, mutual aid is becoming the new look in fire communities because not everybody has specialized training. I mean, there's water rescue units.
Yep.
There's people that go off of high cliffs. Like, you know, in Hannibal, that's something you pretty much have to know how to do.
Yes.
There's brush fires.
Yes.
You know, you talk about California wildfire. We've had some pretty big brush fires around here, too. So, you know, of course, it's not as severe as back there. But we don't have
be.
The manpower that they
right.
have
it,
either.
It
you
can
know?
Be.
We don't have a big airplane flying over putting flame retardant down.
If only we could get John Simons to get an airplane. Are you listening, John? We had a fire on the bluff last spring, and we had 11 departments down there. We had a field fire that we had everybody but two departments in the county out there just last spring helping us put a field fire out that got out of control. It was corn stubble, and it leaked off into standing corn. And, of course, you get in standing corn. That's really when the wind starts whipping things around. So, it you know, we do our best, and we appreciate the community and everybody that throws their, you know, puts their needs aside to help us out, knowing that we're going to help them going down the road. We really appreciate everything the community does for us.
This mutual aid. This is the future, I think, especially in rural areas where you have a professional firefighting force that is supplemented by a volunteer firefighting force, especially when now more and more than ever, firefighters are first responders with some medical calls and stuff like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky Ford, talk a little bit about the type of training, you know, don't take me as an example, but if somebody, for example, wanted to, because they'd be like, no, you can't do it. If somebody wanted to be a Payson Fall Creek firefighter, they can't just say, okay, here I am. There has to be some training. There has to be some physical aptitude, right? I mean, talk a little bit about that.
Well, we have taken on a few junior, what we call junior firefighters, and these are kids that are looking to progress their career. That's what they want to be as firefighters. We got a couple guys now that are testing. We've had a couple. We've got one guy that came to Quincy from Pace, and he's now a Quincy fireman. We've got guys that are down in Hannibal that are career guys. We got guys at Tri-Township that have been on our fire department that are now career guys. So kind of a step, we had a gentleman start last night. We had a training. And our training, the way it works is, yeah, you're required to have a lot of training and put a lot of things forward. But with volunteers, it's really hard to get these guys that can go through all that professional training. So Tri-Township helps us with our training. So we have a couple guys that come out. They're our training officers, and they get us situated and put us in the best position that they can to help us going forward as far as answering emergency calls and fires. So as far as the training goes, John Wood helps us out a lot because they have a lot of young kids going out there for that fire program. So, and there's a lot of kids in our district that are looking to do that, and they have to be on a fire department in order to take the state test. So it kind of works in our favor because they're getting training there, coming to us, and sometimes teaching some of the older guys things that they knew nothing about. So it helps out great. I mean, John Wood is excellent. That program out there is excellent, and I recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, the young pups can often teach the old dogs a few new tricks, but there's nothing like experience. And again, the training can be how to properly gear up, you know, how to properly man those hoses, how to properly drive those trucks and those vehicles, and how to get to a fire scene if you're coming in your own vehicle, and how to approach that.
Right.
When a fire call comes in, are you notified by beeper? How does that work? How do you know, Rocky Ford, that there's some place in Payson where fire's broken out? Because I call 911, and dispatch says, where's your fire?
Yep.
And I give an address, hopefully.
Yep.
And then they know if it's Payson or Camp Point or Quincy or whatever. I mean, they could, you know, that's their job. So they immediately start dispatch.
Right.
So what happens?
The men and women at 911 out here at the 911 center are excellent. They do a great job. They get us as much information, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. When you call 911, I understand that you're stressed out, but you need to give them as much information as you can so that they can relay it to the guys that are responding. Now, as far as we go, we have pagers that they'll set our pagers off, and then on our phones now we have an app that's called I Am Responding, and it is countywide, like us in Liberty. We can see one another's response because we work so close together with one another. So we know who's coming from their department. They know who's coming from our department. So at 911, it's immediately activated. They set our pagers off, and then they set our I Am Responding off. And with those two things, we get enough information to kind of know what's going on. And then, of course, the radio is going forward. We radio dispatch and ask them for any extra information. If it's a structure fire, the first thing I ask is, I want to know wind direction. I want to know wind speed. I want to know if everyone's out of the house, if we have anybody in the house, and whatever, you know, if we need more people coming. So it depends on the emergency, really. We get trucks on the interstate. We don't know what's in those trucks sometimes. I mean, so we have books on the trucks that we can look at that lets us know what the placards on the trucks mean, whether it's, you know, an inhalation hazard or maybe it's just some iodine or they've got peroxide in there or something like that, which is still can be a breathing hazard. So we have a lot of tools that we can put in play before we ever get on scene. I mean, so we're in pretty good shape. They take good care of us, and everybody in this community, not just the Payson community, but this whole community as far as Adams County in a whole, I've phone numbers on my phone. I can call anybody if I've got a problem. If I don't know something, guys at Quincy Fire, I can call Tom Bentley at Tri-Township, and Tom is very knowledgeable of everything there is to know about hazmat. He trains that. He used to teach that. So we're in pretty good shape. I mean, if it's something we don't know, we can always call ahead or call up to the guys and say, hey, what do you want us to do? What should we do?
Payson Fire Chief Rocky Ford, my guest today. They have a trap shoot on Saturday, February 1st from 5 to 10 at the Northside Boat Club. They got $500 Farm and Home gift card raffle and a gun safe, and it's only $6 per round. The one question I want to ask you is, you can see who's responding. It's volunteers, and sometimes people are out of town or sometimes sick, although I imagine you guys never are sick enough you don't come to a call. That's just the kind of guys I know you are. But you see people, you know, but you need 10 firemen, and you've only got 6 responding. Mm-hmm. You're the chief, Rocky Ford. What do you do then?
I'm like I said, thankful. We're thankful enough that if we have 6 guys coming, we automatically know we have 9 because Tri-Township's right behind us, and then Liberty's got 4 or 5 guys. So we're usually in good shape. It's going to take us some time, folks, to get there. And I can apologize all day long, but, I mean, it's us getting there safe, and that's the most important thing, and is safety. And that's my directors are very high on safety, and we've done a lot of upgrades. We got a new truck coming probably next week.
How much does that cost?
Well, it's a pickup truck. It's for emergency.
Oh, a pickup.
Okay,
yeah, I thought, because, I mean, a fire truck can be well over $1 million.
They start in the about $750,000 range, and they go all the way up, the sky's the limit. I mean, there's some of these trucks are $3 million. I mean,
that's not going to be happening in Payson anytime.
It
doesn't even happen in Quincy.
Right. Well, I know Quincy's. I think they're getting another new truck. I don't know if it's a Quint, which a Quint is a ladder truck. There's grants, a lot of funding out there from the state, from the Fed. We just won a $130,000 grant last year to update our air packs that were about 30 years old. So We're doing okay, I think.
Joe Henning, good friend of mine, former mm-hmm. fire chief, and teaches fire science up at Western Illinois University. He said 9/11, a lot of people suddenly realized we need a lot better equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a lot of new equipment, right. And then had expiration date on it. And all of a sudden, everything's expiring at the same time. So it's constant upkeep.
Everything expires. I mean, there's an expiration date on it. Our equipment, our gear that we wear, like our coats and our boots and our hats.
Do you have to pay for that yourself?
Well, I mean, it's money from the community.
Trap shoots.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that our tax dollars buy a lot of that. So I'll just kind of try to put you in the perspective of what it costs to outfit a new fireman, and you're right around $5,000 with boots and coats and pants and helmet and just the PPE is the most important thing, and we really drive on that. We've had guys do some things that, you know, I don't need no gloves, and they go and they'll do it and they'll burn their hand. Or me last year when I dumped the fish oil on my foot and had second degree burns, and that was, believe it or not, at one of our fundraisers, but all is good.
Try not to be injured while you're raising money.
I got made fun of for several months.
Well, you should. The chief should.
Right, exactly. I just wanted to get it done, get it cleaned up. I wanted to get out of there.
And you know what? That's how many a fire has started. Rocky, we're going to run out of time.
That's fine.
It's so funny. Heather, your wife, is a professional radio announcer. Rocky won't talk.
I'm terrible at this.
You're very good at it. Listen, she hasn't told you because she's afraid she'll lose you.
Is that what it is?
We need a new guy.
Well, there you go.
We need a new guy right here on this station.
I'm going to write my name right here on this glass.
You're darn right. You can be my morning show host here. Scott and I are looking for a third right here at WTAD.
Well,
Rocky.
Look right here.
And anytime your thing goes off, you can just shoot out.
Right. Can I wear my pajamas? That's the question.
I have before. Why not?
Thank you very
Rocky
much,
Ford,
Mary.
Really my pleasure to have you. Folks, if you'd like to trap shoot, if you just want to go out and have Pepsi products and good old Harbrook products, you can do that at the Northside Boat Club, 200 South Front Street. It's from 5 to 10 tomorrow, $6 a round. They're going to have a Pepsi product shoot. They're going to have gift basket raffles. They're going to have manwich and chips. And I bet you there'll be some the most delicious damn cookies you've ever ate in your whole life and cupcakes because your wife.
I would say there'll probably be a few of those.
And on behalf of everybody here at Star Radio, thank you for sharing your wife with us because she's delightful. And I want to tell you, I don't want to embarrass you, but
you're good.
I asked her one time, I said, what's the best part of your life, Heather? Because we were just talking. She said, the best part of my life is being Mrs. Rocky Ford. So there you go.
It's the name.
It's the name. Well, yeah. I mean, she's Heather Brown Ford.
She's
got nothing but an adjective.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good night.